Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 17th day of October, 2018. Before I introduce my guest for today, I've got some very exciting news. God willing, this Friday, we are going to have as a guest one of the lead actors of the new Gosnell movie, Alonzo Rachel, who plays a major role as a detective in this movie, is going to be our guest, and the executive producer of the film, God willing, will also be joining us on the program as well this Friday. So you might want to mark your calendars for Friday, the 19th of October, as we have a special program discussing and promoting the Gosnell movie. But today we have in studio, I always love it the best when my guests are right here, face-to-face in the studio with me. Today we have joining us for the very first time ever, Mitch Tepper. He is a Jewish believer in Christ, and he is the new missionary for the North American Division of Christian Witness to Israel, also known as CWI. Many of you may be familiar with Stephen Atkinson, who is a native of Northern Ireland, who's been a guest on this program a number of times. He is the current executive director of the North American Division of Christian Witness to Israel. And in fact, Stephen Atkinson, I believe he was my very first pastor's luncheon speaker here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We began it many years ago in New York in the 1990s, but when I relocated to Pennsylvania, I believe Stephen may have been the very first speaker that I had at the Iron Sharpens Iron pastor's luncheon a number of years ago. But he urged me to get Christian Witness to Israel's new missionary on the program, Mitch Tepper, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Mitch Tepper.
Thank you, and it is a privilege to be here. I am so happy. I've heard the program. I've always wanted to have the opportunity, and here I am.
Amen. And it's always great to have a New Yorker.
A New Yorker from Brooklyn. Brooklyn in the house, everyone.
Yeah, it's not too often that I have native New Yorkers, because I am. Many of our listeners already know this because the show began out of New York.
Yeah.
From 2005 to 2011, I am a native New Yorker, Amityville, Long Island, New York, actually.
Whoa!
But it's always good to hear a familiar accent.
Yours isn't familiar anymore. You lost it somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I was in alcohol rehab, in a Christian rehab ministry, a number of years ago in Boone, North Carolina.
Whoa!
Hebron Colony Ministries. The vast majority of the people there were from North and South Carolina and Mississippi and Tennessee and Kentucky. I was the only Yankee. Actually, there's one other Yankee there when I was there. And the thing I kept hearing over and over again is, "You don't sound like you're from New York." So I said, "You want me to talk like this, don't you?" "Oh, yeah, that's it." And actually, it would come out when I would say, "You have any more coffee?" "Ah, coffee! That's
yeah,
it."
There you go.
But anyway, Mitch, before we get into your personal testimony, sure, which is in and of itself fascinating, I want you to let our listeners know who have missed our previous interviews with Stephen Atkinson. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell our listeners something about Christian Witness to Israel and specifically the North American Division.
Oh, definitely. Christian Witness to Israel started in the UK, believe it or not, in 1842 by Robert Murray McShane. Now, he started, it used to be called the Propagation of the Jews back then, and the reason he started, he noticed all the anti-Semitism that was taking place pretty much from the beginning of time, since Abraham, all the way through past the Reformation, and obviously we know since McShane got on the scene how much anti-Semitism has continued. But he started, like I said, in 1843, over 175 years ago, because he said it's time to start loving on the Jews. He took a trip to Israel, which changed his life. Changed his life to the point where he started, obviously, the CWI, and he got Spurgeon on board. To believe it or not, Spurgeon was the one who, as far as I know, preached the first sermon. I think, like I said, it was called The Propagation of the Jews back then. Preached that first sermon.
Yes, I have heard that from Stephen, that Spurgeon was the first.
Yep, was the first. And also Horatio Bonar was also a big part of it. There's many others. You can hear some amazing statements if you look at the website, which is CWINA.org. There's some amazing quotations from Jonathan Edwards and these three men as well on how we need to be loving on the Jews. And I guess the big thing for me, being a Jewish Christian, my wife and I are both Messianic Jews, is the fact that we realize how much assimilation has took place. And as I've been studying Romans 9 to 11, the thing that really got me is to realize Paul's just urgent appeal and emotional appeal to the Gentile church, that everything that you now have, everything now that you believe in, has come from the Jews, whether it's the patriarchs, whether it's the law, the covenants, everything up to, and obviously very much concluding with the Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is also coming from the Jewish race. And it's that appeal that we are still making 175 years after McShane to get Jews excited about Jewish evangelism and being involved through their prayers, through some of them wanting to hit the streets, and obviously others who want to support financially, which they can do all three, and we'd love all three.
Amen. And I know that the North American Division is a lot more recent in its establishment than the UK.
7 years.
7 years?
7 years. I think he wrote that this year, the article, but he wrote it's his seventh year. He might be starting his eighth year soon.
Stephen Atkinson.
Stephen Atkinson started it 7 years ago. Stephen Atkinson used to be with the UK. He pretty much had to quit the UK to start the North America branch. There was one other missionary. Right now, I'm the only missionary for North America. There's another one they're trying to get through on a visa. And obviously, another reason for funding is we're trying to get more missionaries. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to go back and forth all over the country. You know,
it was hard enough for you to make it to lunch today with all the traffic.
I don't know if we want to talk about it. But if anybody out there, hopefully it's open, but 76 east of 99 was closed. I don't know if it's open, but man, that was not fun. But here I am.
Amen.
I made
Praise
it
God.
In time.
Praise God. Okay, well, we're going to be repeating the contact information for Christian Witness to Israel later on. But if anybody is interested in finding out more information, it's CWINA.org, CWINA.org. And as I said, we'll be repeating that later as well, God willing. But now it's time to hear about your personal testimony, something about the religious atmosphere of your upbringing as a child, and what were the circumstances that our sovereign Lord providentially rose up in your life to draw you to himself and save you.
I do love telling my testimony, and the bottom line is the reason is because it's really the gospel of Christ, you know, all over, and it should be in anyone's testimony. I was born in the Brooklyn Jewish Hospital in 1955. So if you got your math, yes, I am 63 and a half right now, on April 8th. And, you know, I remember the first time I had to write my testimony. It's like, who of those back then knew that I would be writing and giving a testimony to meeting my Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach? But here I am. And growing up, my parents, you know, I guess I would call them secular Jews. I will say that what's interesting is the background of my parents. My dad was an Orthodox Jew until he went away to the war. Obviously, after that, things changed, and he is still alive at 93, living in Delray Beach.
Praise God.
And I'm going to be visiting him, Lord willing, in the beginning of December.
I have been to that area.
Delray, yeah. My dad's, and my mom just passed away on Mother's Day, and it's amazing how things that have happened to me, traumatic things that have happened to me, have always happened on dates that I can't forget, because I'm pretty forgetful when it comes to my dates. My wife used to have to remind me all the time, you know, today's your mom's birthday. Did you call?
And of course, of course, every wife has to remind her husband about their anniversary.
Yeah, well, no, it was on Labor Day, so I'll never forget it. I know. Labor Day, right?
Laborious.
Yeah. And very interesting that, my mom died on this Mother's Day. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest reasons that I'm doing what I'm doing, just to sidetrack a little bit, is my mom died without knowing the Lord. It hurts. I didn't have a great relationship with her. I admit to that, but still loved her. She still loved me. When you see somebody that you love go into eternity, and you wish you just had one more opportunity to share. And so that is a big reason why I am doing what I am. But back to my story. My mom had a strange upbringing. Her dad was Catholic, and in fact, she has a whole half of a family that's Roman Catholic. But she always considered herself Jewish. And then not sure how old my mom was when her mother converted to Christian Science.
Wow.
So here my mom, who got together with my dad, who I think when they first met, he was still living an Orthodox life. I'm not really positive about that, but I think he was. So she wanted so much to get, you know, like Ruth, she wanted to have those Jewish roots. But the crazy thing is, it was pretty much just secular Judaism, which is just people, and I shouldn't call it Judaism, just being a secular Jewish person, which is someone who identifies with being Jewish, but just doesn't want to be involved with any of the religious aspects of it, you know. And that's pretty much what I would say I grew up with. I was bar mitzvahed at 13, like any good Jewish boy was. And the funny thing is, I had opportunities. I think about it now. It's so funny. I wish I knew Hebrew. And I could care less back then. All I wanted was the big party and the money that came, which we had when I was 13. And that was wonderful. But after that bar mitzvah and that 13th birthday, I pretty much slipped away from Judaism. And it didn't take long before, you know, if you work out my age, obviously I grew up in the 70s. So that was the, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, age in the 70s. And that's pretty much where I headed. And as I
even though you're a little bit older than me, I still experienced those days of the 70s.
Yes, didn't we all? Yeah. My kids used to ask me about the 70s all the time. The one thing I will say that they have, they did find out what I've been telling them for a long time, the best music came from the 70s, except for the worship music nowadays. after my bar mitzvah, I just slowly went into that phase. Was not a good student going through school and high school, but I did graduate. And I guess I would call myself, slowly became an atheist over those years. I just didn't understand how there could be a God, you know, it's that old, look at all this evil. Look at the world. The world's a mess. There's no way. And that's pretty much what I came out of high school thinking. Did go to college for a couple of years at American University. Flunked out because, obviously, partying and the whole, like I said, sex, drugs, rock and roll life was much more important than education when I was 19, 20. And moved back to Brooklyn, and it was at that time that I, and thank God, you know, some people stay, and I still know some of my friends who are still doing drugs. They still do them. And I'm talking about, I was 20, now in my 60s, so for 40 some odd years, these friends that I had still doing them. But I realized in my young 20s, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I wanted to get out of it. And that's when the spiritual journey started. And it started maybe, and it's probably what a lot of secular Jews would say that they got involved with Eastern religions. You know, it'd read Gehel Kebron stuff and the prophet. Also believed in Gandhi was a great man. And I started going that Eastern way, even did TM, Transcendental Meditation was real big. You know, the Beatles did it. How bad could it be, right? So I did. So I was doing Transcendental Meditation until I found out that you are over and over again repeating the name of a Hindu god. And I said, I don't think I want to do that anymore. So I knew I had to just keep searching. And I knew I didn't want to be involved with the drug life, even though it was difficult to give that up. And this is the thing. This is amazing. I do not believe in just fire brimstone someone into the kingdom. But when I was at a mall, and it's called King Plaza, it was like one of the first big or great big malls in the country. It was in Brooklyn. And I remember we went to King's Plaza. And as I was in King's Plaza, they must have saw my profile, but this Jews for Jesus beelined me when I was in King's Plaza. He beelined right for me, and he started talking to me, and obviously I was giving them to Hel Kebron and all my Eastern stuff, and he said, oh, all those guys have pride, and I'm going, yeah, whatever. So we're going back and forth, and finally it was like, okay, I don't want to talk anymore. And as I turned to walk away from this gentleman, this Jews for Jesus who handed me a track, said to me, I know somebody who didn't accept Jesus and died the same night. Right? Not exactly the, you know, what I would call the gentleman way to witness or to preach the gospel to somebody or evangelize, but man, did it have an effect. I got in my car with my friend. I left him off. I ran home. I read that prayer, read the track, read the prayer, and then the next day went on with my life, you know, and still doing the drugs, trying to get off and all this, but knew that something really shook me that night, which is amazing. I did not get saved that night, Chris, but I still remember that, and that happened. Think about it. That happened over 43 years ago now. That happened. And I still remember it like it was yesterday when that Juice for Jesus gentleman came up to me. I wouldn't suggest that anyone in the audience go about it that way, but it did have an effect on me. So I went on with things. I realized I got to get out of New York. You know, I went back home, tried school, and nothing was working. And I just knew I had to get out. I literally packed everything up, and I drove. I got some other people from newspaper ads. I got some other people to drive across the country, made some stops. It ended up going to the Mardi Gras, the Bicentennial Mardi Gras. So this is like 1976. I'm trying to remember if it was like, I guess we left about February, March, something like that, and got to California. Thought I was going to go up to Frisco, you know. And the funny thing is, I never ended up in Frisco. Frisco was like I was a deadhead at one time. Any deadheads out there? Well, I still listen to them sometimes. But I was like a deadhead. Loved the Frisco scene. I thought it was the best music in the world, right? So here I am. Never got up to Frisco. I ended up in L.A. and just trying to make my way through L.A. And it was just not easy. There were times that I slept in my car, had some money saved before I left New York. And It was very strange. I'm trying to. It was at Universal Studios. I met a Persian gentleman who was a non-practicing Muslim. Now, Persia
Iran.
Is Iran now, yeah. But back then it was still called Persia in the 70s. And so he was from Persia, and here I am, the non-practicing Jew and the non-practicing Muslim decide to become roommates. Say, let's become roommates. You know, hey, what the heck? You know, we both wanted to be actors. We go, hey, it makes sense, right?
You know? Your non-practicing attitudes kept you alive.
There you go. Yes, we were not at each other's throat. No, we both wanted to be actors at that time. That was my thing. Oh, I think that's what I should be doing. I become an actor. I'm a theatrical guy, you know. So I remember he came home with a list of theaters, and the first one on the list said Hollywood Free Theater, and the words Hollywood and free appealed to me, you know. You could say it's because I was Jewish. Okay. I'm allowed to say it's because I was Jewish. You can't say
self-deprecating
it.
Humor
yes.
is allowed.
Yeah, always. You're always going to get it from me. Big Woody Allen fan. So here I am. We go to this place. This non-practicing Muslim, he sees the place and goes, uh-oh, this is in Jesus' name. I'm out of here, okay? So I'm pretty sure he drove me that night, and the other guy said, don't worry, we'll drive you home. There were people I recognized there. There were names I recognized there. And this was, like, really cool. I get to Hollywood. Here's people I recognize. Some of these are the kids of famous people. I was just like, whoa, this is cool. And they took me down, and they were doing this bicentennial play at Angelus Temple. I don't know if you know what Angelus Temple.
No.
Well, Amy Sample McPherson, you might remember her from, I think it was the turn of the 20th century. She was big in the 1920s. But she started the Four Square Movement.
Right.
And it was in this temple or church. It was the first mega church, I found out, in the country. So we were going to do it there on July 4th, this play. And they just gave me the part. They said, go ahead. We're giving you the part. And they knew I was the only non-Christian there. But these guys love on me. Unlike the Jews for Jesus in the King's Plaza who tried to scare me. These guys were just loving on me. Loving on me. And there was a Jewish woman who would watch. She lived right around the corner, and she would watch the rehearsals. And she was a believer. And she would start witnessing and loving. All these people would love. They'd ask me to go out. I realized that was the big thing. After we did rehearsal, we go out and eat, you know. That's what we do. So I there was a lot of that. These guys loved on me, and we went out to eat. And we were getting closer to the play, and I was getting nervous because I knew we were going to be performing in front of thousands of people at Angelus Temple for the bicentennial. So the night of the play, and obviously this Jewish woman has still been witnessing to me, and I said, man, I need to relax. I'm going to do the play. And it was Friday night. The play was going to be Saturday, which was July 4th. And on Friday night, there was a movie that opened called The Omen. Remember that one? The original
Omen. Oh, yeah.
Omen.
It was, Gregory Peck.
Yes, that's the one. And it opened, I guess, July 3rd. And back then in L.A., these theaters were like 24/7. I don't know if it was like that 7 days, but at least on the weekends. So we went to a show. I couldn't get to sleep, and I was nervous. Went to a show, had to be 2-3 in the morning. We got out at like 5 in the morning. She's explaining to me what's off the wall, what's right on, even though pretty much the whole movie's off the wall. But it was entertaining. Come on. It was an entertaining film.
Well, not to interrupt you too much, but
sure, the
Omen, when I was a teenager, actually triggered an interest in the Bible in me that all my years of Catholic school did not. Because of the mark of the beast and the whole thing. Because it was like a sensationalistic
thing.
Come on,
yeah, eschatology, come on. Everybody wants to hear that. I mean, one of the people that were involved that I went to church, his church, he used to have a, Hal Lindsey used to have a church on Venice Beach that I used to go to.
Hmm.
You know, and it was just real interesting. But talk about eschatology and end times, that's all they ever talked about. But back to the story. So we went to see the play. Must have got out. I guess it was like 5 in the morning or something. 4 or 5 in the morning. And we were doing the play that Saturday night. So she said, look, you know, let's have some coffee and talk. So I went to her apartment. We had coffee. We talked. And she said, would you like to accept Jesus? And I'm going, look, I did that. You know, I told her a story in the mall. I don't want to go through that again. She says, look, it's just you and me here. says, I only ask one thing. If you pray, just be sincere in your heart. All right, what the heck? I did, and I'm telling you, I knew that I felt the Spirit dive inside of me. I felt Yeshua HaMashiach just come in and change my life at that moment.
Wow.
It was just, it was fascinating. I remember everything changed at that moment. So here I am. I got saved on the morning of July 4th, 1976. I would never remember the date if it wasn't the bicentennial day. So I got saved on the bicentennial day. It was awesome.
Independence Day has a new meaning.
Independent. And yes, yes, the nice Jewish boy went bananas on Independence Day and accepted Yeshua. So that day changed my life. And, you know, I mean, it hasn't been easy. It's been a roller coaster. But since that moment on July 4th, I knew where I was going. I knew that I was his, and I've been his now for what? It's 42 and, you know, years now, 42 and a half years.
Praise God. We're going to our first station break, and sure, when you come back, I want you to tell our listeners a story about Bob Dylan and Keith Green.
Ah, there we go.
All right. If anybody would like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. If you have a question, we already have several of you waiting to have your questions asked and answered, and we'll get to you as soon as we can. If anybody would like to join them, it's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well-grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and please don't forget to continue praying for Mike Gadosh, who is still recovering from very serious, dangerous, complicated, and deadly open heart surgery that he experienced. He is recovering just well. He's not completely out of the woods, but he is recovering and continues to thank God for all of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners who prayed for him before and during and after that surgery. Please order as much as you can from Solid Ground Christian Books, because while he was laid up in the hospital, he did suffer a setback in his sales and his income. So please go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and order as much as you can from Solid Ground Christian Books, and including books that are available by the founder of Christian Witness to Israel, Robert Murray McShane, by the first pastor who preached for their conference, that was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and many other greats of the past and present whose theology you can rely upon for biblical faithfulness. That's solid-ground-books.com. We are back now with our interview with Mitch Tepper, missionary for the North American Division of Christian Witness to Israel. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before we go to your story about Bob Dylan and Keith Green, we have a listener who you know. That is George Scipione, who I've had on the program
George!
Fairly recently.
Skip!
Adjunct professor. The president or the director of the Biblical Counseling Institute at Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His question is, does Mitch have a new appreciation for the Psalms after attending Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary?
Oh, that is so true, so true. One of the things I remember, one of the professors shared in a worship class.
You might want to lift up your microphone because it keeps brushing against your...
Uh-oh, my bad.
There you go, that's okay.
Okay, one of the things that I loved learning, and it's helped me look at the Psalms differently, other than singing in them, which I loved, was the fact that when I look at a Psalm, realize that they were written by Jesus, they were written for Jesus, and they were written about Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, that opened up a world to me to be able to look at a psalm and to see that. And another thing I'd love to do is see the Trinity in the Psalms.
Amen.
You know, seeing the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the Psalms. And now the singing part, I love that. I've been trying. My wife is a worship leader and has been for, you know, many, many years, probably 25, 30 years. And during the time that she's been a worship leader, since I've been to RPTS, I've tried to get her to incorporate those because I loved the a cappella psalms that we would sing at the seminary. The thing that amazed me about them is how many people in most congregations don't, you know, really know how to sing,
right,
period.
Right.
Sorry, guys. But these in the RP churches and in the seminary, they all knew the three-part harmonies. And it was the most beautiful thing to listen to sing in a cappella psalms. And yes, I do have an appreciation I haven't had before. And, you know, and I also have an appreciation for counseling because of you, Skip. And hey, when am I getting my certification? That's what I want. I want that certification. No, I'm kidding.
And you know what I love about the Psalms? I have a friend, Bill Shishko, Orthodox Presbyterian pastor, who always rebukes me every time I say my church. It's not your church. It's the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church where I'm a member, Grace Baptist Church, although we are not exclusive psalmody, we do have psalters in the pews, and we frequently psalms.
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about it is that it is a connection to the church, not only to the New Covenant Church, but even the Old Covenant Church, going all the way back to the beginning, where we are reunited singing the same psalms, obviously in different languages, but with the universal church in both the Old and New Covenant.
So I love that.
Yeah,
real quick, I just wanted to mention this because I was wearing a Pray for Andrew Brunton bracelet. And for those of you who might know, and maybe some don't know, he was an EPC pastor that was in Turkey.
I didn't know he was EPC.
He was an EPC.
That's what you are.
Yeah, I am under
Evangelical
care.
Evangelical Presbyterian Church.
I am under care with the EPC. That is not where I am currently. I'm kind of a staff member, even though I'm a full-time CWI at a church called Intersection in Butler, PA, which my wife is the worship leader and we attend. But yes, I'm under care of the EPC. I would love sometime to be ordained as in the world outreach, which means I would have access to all 700 EPC churches, and that's something I'm looking to do. But Andrew Bronson was an EPC pastor, and he was freed. I think it was last week he was freed.
Yeah.
And do you know how long he was in the Turkish prison? He was there for a long time, but weren't sure if he was going to get out alive. But yes, thank everybody for all the prayers. He is now out. But don't stop praying for him because it's not easy.
As he puts his bracelet back on to pray for Pastor Brunson.
Yeah, I realized, I don't need to pray for him anymore, and I'm going, yes, I do. He still needs our prayers, believe
yes,
me. I mean, getting back into
especially
you know,
since he
life.
Is going to have opportunities that he probably never had before.
Oh, yeah.
He's a celebrity. To have an audience of millions.
That's
in
right.
In fact, if you have any connections with getting him on this show, I would love to interview him.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, and you can even co-host with me if you want.
I'd love to.
Great.
Look at this. I got a new gig. I'm Chris's co-host. Oh, cool.
Well, thank you, Dr. Scipione, and we look forward to having you back on the show as well.
Love you, Skip.
Let's go into the, before we go to any of our other listener questions, let's go to the story about Bob Dylan and Keith Green.
Okay. All right. I told you I got saved on the bicentennial. Where I got saved was a place called The Vineyard. I'm sure most of you know, but do you know that in 1976 there was one vineyard? It was before John Wimber was even involved with The Vineyard. He became the church planter later, but Ken Gullickson started The Vineyard.
Was it always that extreme into charismatic?
There was more of a well. There are some that still have very balanced. I know the guy who married me from a vineyard in upstate New York, Fishkill. His name is Louis Lapidus. Pastor Louis was loved Calvin. He considered himself like a charismatic Calvinist.
Believe it or not, I was interviewed years ago on the Trinity Broadcasting Network's affiliate in Fishkill.
Yeah, isn't that something? But we would talk about that because he knew about my Reform theology and RPTS, and we spoke about Calvin a lot. And he really was well read on Calvin. Back to that, some of them are very balanced. In fact, the book that John Wimber, I think it's not an autobiography, but a biography on John Wimber, the title was In Search of the Radical Middle. And when I mentioned that title to Mia, she loves that idea of In Search of the Radical Middle. And that's something that's kind of been a mission statement for me. I'm trying to live that, In Search of the Radical Middle in my life now, which is obviously, Jesus was... There was no one more radical than him. But back to Keith. When I went to the vineyard, and I said Ken Gullickson started the vineyard. Now, just so you know, the roots of the vineyard is Ken came out of Calvary Chapel, which was Chuck Smith's church. Mm-hmm. And Greg Laurie used to do before he started Harvest, he used to do the Saturday night concerts. And I used to see him, and I used to see all these acts go down there. But... he pulled out and said, I want to go to West L.A., Ken. And that's how the vineyard started in West L.A. And now, there's probably thousands of vineyards in the world. And it was pretty balanced at that time. And I still think there are some vineyards that are balanced. Same thing, you look at EPC, a lot of the others, there's a lot of different beliefs. Some are complementary and some are equalitarian and ism. And it's just a lot of different thinking there.
I was at a pastor's gathering years ago on Long Island, and a vineyard pastor was there, and he broke down and wept because of his embarrassment by the extreme, unbiblical, charismatic extent that he went into.
Yeah.
Evidently recovered from and was delivered from and so on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be very honest. I cannot refute some of the things I've seen. I went to Mexico with the vineyard. We were building a church. And there's things I saw that I can't deny. I mean, some stuff I go, man, that God still does miracles. I can't deny that. I'm trying to really be balanced in that. And, I've read a lot of Grudem, so I like Grudem, even though I've heard he's gotten a little off the wall last week. Okay, well, we don't have to talk about that. But, I love my favorite systematic book.
Yeah,
is Grudem's
book. A lot of non-charismatics love Wayne Grudem's
book. Oh, he's great. I mean, he's just, he knows his systematics. But Keith was the worship leader when there was one vineyard. The first time that I heard Keith after I was saved, I was blown away. I have never seen anybody who was so convicting. You could not listen to a Keith Green worship service or a concert or a preaching or anything without feeling, I got to go up front again. He just tore at you. And, he was a Finney fan and Leonard Ravenhill fan and stuff. And obviously, nowadays I wouldn't agree with a lot of that. But But
well, especially Finney.
Well, yeah. Let's just get him in a tent, and you can't leave until you accept Jesus.
And it's all up
to
you.
Yeah, and we don't care. Yeah, that's right. And we don't care where your life goes after you're out of the tent. No, but I kid. But Keith was the worship leader, and he just had such a heart for God. And if you've ever, or anyone in the audience has ever had a chance to read his diaries, man, he never thought he did enough. He always thought he was just not doing enough, and he was not a good Christian, and he was sinning too much, you know. And but obviously, without even knowing it, he was understanding, you know, tulip, right?
Right.
But, man, what a heart this guy had.
One of the very few people that was that popular who was honest enough about the heresies of Roman Catholicism. And the differences between the gospel, the false gospel of Rome, and the true gospel of the Reformation.
He was a lot more like Calvin than he even knew. but Keith was just amazing. Keith, when I was, you know, I told you that the woman who brought me to the Lord, I was living with her. She said, in the Lord's eyes, we're married. And Keith caught wind and came to the house where we were living. And, you know, and this is after Keith baptized, because he and Ken Gullickson were the ones who baptized me in the Pacific Ocean sometime in July 76. But he came, heard about it, and I said, I got nowhere to go. He said, you can't live like this. I said, I got nowhere to go. He says, I'm here, pack your bags, get some stuff, and you come live with me. And that was a life-changing experience.
Wow.
Because this guy, all he wanted to do was get people saved, and unlike with the Finney thing, he discipled every one of these people. He wanted to make sure that they grew, and that's when he left. I'm trying to remember the year he left, but it was near or right before 80. There might be someone out there who knows the dates. But he started Last Days Ministry in Texas, and we would only see him when he would come for a concert, and obviously he died in that tragic plane crash. Mm-hmm. With the Smalleys, who I was really good friends with. The first time when I got married to this girl that I was telling about, that I was living with, we did it in this Christian nightclub that John Smalley was kind of like took over, and his whole family died in that plane crash as
wow.
well. And oh man, that was, I'll never forget when we were, I don't remember the first time I heard it, but when we heard it, it was just devastating that he was gone, and he just meant so much to so many people. And what's great is his music still means. I still try to turn people onto his music. His music, I just don't know anybody who just cuts to the quick the way his music does, even to mm-hmm. this day. And he died at 28. Imagine.
Wow.
You know?
Just like Robert Murray McShane died at 29, the founder.
Wow.
Of
yeah, the
Christian
founder,
Witness to Israel.
I didn't realize he died before 32. Yeah. That's amazing. So, my just if you don't mind, I'll take one Keith Green story that I love that just tells you the kind of heart the man had. He went to the president of Mer Records, you know, Word Records or Mer Records back then, and he said, I just don't feel comfortable selling, you know, albums, you know, for Jesus. It just doesn't make sense, you know. I should be selling these. And the president let him out. I don't know who the president was at that time of Mer Word, but he let him out of his contract. What else could he do? He went down the Last Day, started his own record label, and he would just give the albums away, and he got more than he would have got if he sold them with Mer. And all this money was going into this ranch that he had
wow.
on Last Days Ministry. You know, his wife and a couple of his children are still alive, and I guess they're still down there. Melody, I think, was and I would love to hear from her, but I think that she took it over, and I don't know exactly if one of the kids took it over, but what a great ministry that was down there that was really trying to disciple people, and you know, whether it was addictions, whatever. But that's my Keith Green thing. So I did love him, and he was an amazing man of God. And he went too early, but I'm looking forward to seeing him sometime.
Now the Bob Dylan
story. Bob Dylan. Bob. Yeah, it's a Bob Dylan story. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Could you imagine Bob Dylan today being a contestant on America's Got Talent. They, okay. If they just heard him go, the answer, my friends, because they don't care about the artistic end of it. But anyway.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, I like everybody else that was in my generation, you know, whether you thought he had the worst voice in the world, you loved Bob Dylan's music. Right. I mean, his lyrics. Who wrote better lyrics than Bob Dylan? If you were a child of the 70s or even now listening to his music from the 60s, 70s, and all the way through now. Great stuff. But, I love Dylan, and I think it was around 82. I had, and I'll go through a roommate story, because the roommate story, it's hilarious to me that I had this, we talked about it. We all had these kind of roommates who just told fish stories, like tall tales. Are you going, yeah, right, whatever. And he told me this tale that he had to leave. He was passed on. He's now with the Lord. But so I can talk all about him now. I don't know if he's got a wife out there.
Where he is, he doesn't care about.
He doesn't care about this story. Yeah. So, but I loved him, and you know, his name is Michael, and I loved him. He was my roommate, and he would tell the story how he wrote this book. He had on coup d'etat about the President Kennedy assassination. And because he knew the truth, he had to run away, you know. And I'm going, yeah, whatever. And, okay, so here he is in California. We're roommates in California. And at this time, I'm now married to that woman I was speaking about. And so I wasn't his roommate anymore. And he comes to me one day at this Bible study. I used to teach this Bible study. I was about 22, 23 in Hollywood. We taught this big Bible study where it was halfway houses, so there was a lot of people that had to go, plus people who wanted to go. If they were staying in the house, they had to go, and other people would come from the Hollywood and even the Valley. And it was a large study. I remember the night I spoke on Matthew 23, okay, which was on the Pharisees. And after I spoke, my ex-roommate Mike comes up and says, someone wants to meet you. Okay? It was Bob Dylan! He wants to meet me, and I'm going, what's this all about? And, well, obviously, speaking on Matthew 23, it was interesting enough, and he just wanted to talk, and he just apparently became a Christian. And he did tell me, I think, Mike, a week before that he led Bob to the Lord, which it wasn't exactly true, but, you know, but still, he brought him to the study, and Bob spoke to me at the study, and I told him about the Vineyard School Discipleship, which I attended the year before, and it's a wonderful place to get grounded, because I got grounded there. There were some really great teachers and pastors, and I guess some of them became professors that were at that Vineyard. It was really good people, and I had really good teaching, other than, you know, some of the off-the-wall stuff. It was good teaching. But no, it was. I loved it. And I talked him into doing it. We talked for like an hour and a half. And the funny thing is, he needed a ride to his car because we spoke so long, everybody was gone except for us. So I took him in my blue Gremlin. Could you imagine putting Bob Dylan in a blue Gremlin?
Actually, yes. I could picture Bob Dylan in a blue Gremlin.
In a little blue Gremlin. I'm going, oh, Lord. So, you know, I drove him to his car. And he ended up going to school discipleship with my ex-wife, you know, mm-hmm. my ex-wife. So they became good friends. So he was able to come over to the house one time and do music with my ex. And that was like awesome. I couldn't believe that, you know. And she became good friends with his fiance. And they got real close. And then one day she came crying because Bob just left, and I don't know how
left
many
the
years.
Faith.
No, I wouldn't say. I'm not going to say. I have no idea of that, but I do
left
know
her.
He left. He could not. He could not take anymore the pressure he was feeling. You know, do this concert, do that concert. You know, whatever it was that he was feeling, he couldn't handle.
Oh,
it
left
anymore.
The business.
Left. In other words, left the church.
Oh, okay.
Left the church. He obviously never got married to this woman. And she was devastated by it. But the bottom line is I have no idea where Bob's at in terms of spiritually right now. I know he went, I think he was with Lubavitch. He tried to do the Jewish. I have no idea.
Somebody,
someone knows. Bob, you know where you're at.
Right. I remember seeing him receiving one, I can't remember, what do they call those awards, the Presidential Awards for the Arts or something?
Yes, and in D.C. you talk about, right?
Yes, yeah, and I remember, and I can't remember the woman's name, but she's a very famous black gospel singer, and she was singing You Gotta Serve Somebody.
Oh, really?
Bob Dylan's song, to him. He was in the balcony, as the artists are.
Oh, that's right.
And she was saying to him, you got to serve somebody, Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. It was like she was preaching to him, singing his own song to him. Now, I always wondered what he was going through inside, if he was thinking, man, I have abandoned the truth, or if he was just being entertained by her voice. I don't know.
Oh, you know, and that's the thing. The thing of the story is, I have no idea. He left the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
He left his fiance. I have no idea if they ever got together in any way and spoke about things. But I remember how devastated a lot of people were. And apparently, you know, a lot of those people don't know where Bob is spiritually now. And I would love to think that if I don't see him in this life, that I'd see him in the next life, but only God knows that.
Yeah, we could pray that he returns,
Lord willing. Yeah,
the truth. Or if he never truly embraced the truth, that he comes for the first time.
Oh, but his songs were awesome. Three beautiful albums. And if you listen to them, if you haven't listened to all three, anybody out there, they're awesome albums. Awesome albums.
Well, we're going to go to, after our midway break, we're going to go to some of our listener questions.
Okay.
Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com if you have a question, if you'd like to join those already waiting. This is our longer than normal break. It's over 12 minutes, and that's because Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida requires this time to air their own commercials and public service announcements to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So please be patient with us. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can patronize them and subsequently causing them, God willing, to remain as our advertisers, which subsequently will help us remain on the air because we depend upon their advertising dollars. But also write in questions to our guest, Mitch Tepper, at chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back. Right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White here, co-founder of Alpha and Omega Ministries and occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm so delighted that my friend Chris Arnson will be heading down to Atlanta for the next G3 conference from January 17th through the 19th, 2019, where I'll be joining a very impressive lineup of speakers on the theme, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. Speakers include John Piper, Steve Lawson, Vodi Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mabewe, Phil Johnson, Josh Weiss, yours truly, and many more. I hope you all join Chris and me for this phenomenal event. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Sorensen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, Visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call their toll-free number at 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231, if you order at least $50 worth of merchandise. And you mention Chris Ahrensen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Not only will you receive free shipping on your entire order of $50 or more, but you will also receive for free the journalable Psalm 119 published by Reformation Heritage Books. And that is a lot harder to pronounce than you may think. Journalable Psalm 119, if you mention Chris Ahrensen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We just have a few announcements to make before we return to our guest today, Mitch Tepper, the new missionary for the North American Division of Christian Witness to Israel, otherwise known as CWI. First of all, someone that my guest knows, Rich Gamble. He will be on the program tomorrow, Rich Gamble, who is on the faculty of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He is also author of The Whole Counsel of God, and we are going to be discussing that two-volume book tomorrow. So make sure you write in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Also, not only for our guest today, but also for tomorrow's guest, Richard Gamble. And mark that down on your calendar so you don't miss it. That's tomorrow, Thursday, the 18th of October. We have some events that we don't want you to forget about as well. The Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is having their annual Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. I will be there manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio, God willing. The theme is the glory of the cross. The speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. If you'd like to register, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Click on events and then scroll down to Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. That's November 9th and the 10th at Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Quakertown, Pennsylvania. And then coming up in January, the G3 Conference returns to College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. The Georgia International Convention Center, to be more specific. The theme this January is The Mission of God, A Biblical Understanding of Missions. I will be there for the third year in a row, God willing, manning an Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth. And I strongly urge you to register for your own exhibitors booth if you have a business or a church or parachurch ministry that you want to promote to the crowd there. They are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people to be present at this conference. Perhaps Mitch Tepper will join me at my exhibitors booth and help promote Christian Witness to Israel as well. But this has got an enormous roster of speakers once again. The G3 conference roster of speakers this January include Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, John Piper, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Phil Johnson, Conrad M. Bewe, Vody Balcom. The list goes on and on. Stephen J. Nichols, who is the president of the Reformation Bible College, which is the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries. It's a really enormous roster of names, a lot longer than the names I've just included in this ad. So please go to g3conference.com if you'd like to attend, g3conference.com. The conference is from Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th, at the Georgia International Convention Center, College Park, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. And by the way, if you have Spanish-speaking and bilingual friends, there is an exclusively Spanish-speaking edition of the conference on Wednesday, January 16th. So you can tell them about that as well. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, if you love sharing the free MP3s, if you love the guests and topics that we cover that are rarely heard anywhere else, please go to G3 Conference, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com, and then click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. Remember my caveats that I try to remember every day. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, but if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two biblical commands, then please give as often as you can and as much as you can to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you could also mail in a check, snail mail style, to the address that will appear on your screen if you prefer doing snail mail. Also, if you want to advertise with us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put advertising in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest Mitch Tepper on his testimony on Jewish evangelism or specifically on Christian witness to Israel. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. By the way, if you are without a church home, if you're not prayerfully seeking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. It is a clear biblical command for you to be under the submission of elders in a local church. And so therefore, if you cannot find one, please send me an email. I can help you find one, God willing. I have already helped a number of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners find church homes all over the world, from places here in the United States all the way to Perth, Australia. I've helped find people church homes. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put I need a church home or something similar in the subject line. But now we are taking questions again for Mitch Tepper at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before we go to the listener questions, I just had to ask you how you, as a Jewish believer who did not begin your Christian journey in Calvinism or sovereign grace teaching or Reformed theology, how did you discover and embrace and then even seek ordination in this theological wing of the church known as the Reformed faith?
Mm, very interesting. It's funny. You know, so many of us, we're looking for a church, and I remember going through that certain times in my life, and then one way, in fact, when I first got saved back in Hollywood, I went to a Seventh-day Adventist church because they worshipped on Saturday and they ate kosher, and I did that.
Beyond kosher.
Wait a minute, and I did that. It was right around the corner from where I lived. I did that until they had this revival where they said, they preached on why millions of Christians will go to hell because they're not worshiping on Saturdays and ate kosher, and that's when I waved bye-bye to that church. But
the, you know, their view of hell is a very short trip, though.
It's annihilation. I knew about that. Well, you know, but that was one of the places. I mainly was at a lot of non-denominational, independent churches, a lot of charismatic churches, until I got to Pennsylvania with Mia. And the reason that we moved back here, we met in New York on a Christian dating line. She was from Butler, PA, but was living in Staten Island at the time, and we met online, and she is the reason that I started going to some of the denominational churches. At the time, both she wasn't even really walking with the Lord that month. She just got out of a church that she was hurt in. I was going to a very charismatic church. And when we got close and started dating, she said that she wanted to be close to her mom because her mom was getting sick. So we moved back to Butler. We literally got married and moved back to Butler. So when we went to Butler, there was a church that there was a gentleman who was a friend of hers for years that was going to a Methodist church. So she said, this is a pretty popular church. Yeah. So we went to a Methodist church. I worked there for a while, believe it or not, as the adult minister. And I also worked with the CCO. If you know the CCO, the Coalition Christian Outreach, where they work with kids who from the ages of 18 to 30, who is the largest group that's missing from churches. They after they're 18, they finish their youth groups and they leave. And luckily, you know, some of them come back, but a lot of them never come back. So I did that for a while. And when that ended, my wife Mia got a job in another a church that this guy started, who was a pastor at a Presbyterian church and started his own church. We were there for a while, and then out of nowhere, Mia got a call from a Presbyterian church, which was still PCUSA at the time. And so I followed her to this PCUSA church, but it was they tried to be reformed in this church, and they left the PCUSA like many PCUSA churches are doing, and joined the EPC. And when they joined the EPC, they gave me the job of teaching Michael Horton's book, you know, What's So Wow. Amazing About Grace. So
Great book.
Yeah.
In fact, I interviewed Michael on that book.
Yeah, now I think I saw that on the site. So I read the book, and things I never thought about, you know, Tulip and the Five Solas, all this stuff, and teaching it makes you really kind of have to take it in a little deeper than most people who are students there. So it really was a start. Then after that, I was looking for a seminary. I almost went to PTA, which is connected with the PCUSA, Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. I had an issue getting in there. So I tried RPTS, and the president of RPTS at the time, he's not the president anymore, Jerry O'Neill, if you've met him, Jerry O'Neill said, we're going to get you in here. And I started in 2013, and by the time I graduated at the age of 61 in May 2016, man, I was reformed. I mean, 3 years of listening. And I will tell you about Gamble. Gamble is probably as good as any systematic guy alive today.
He's our guest tomorrow to remind our listeners.
That is awesome. So, guys, you got to listen to him. We've been waiting probably 5-6 years for him to finish Volume 2, and it's finally done. So I'm looking forward to getting Volume 2. Volume 1 is a great book. So
well,
looking forward to hearing him.
We who are Reformed, at least some of us, always love to hear about Jewish believers, not only first and foremost becoming Christians, but it's also a wonderful bonus when they embrace the doctrines of Reformed theology.
Oh, God,
because it's rarer than a Bigfoot sighting.
I saw him on the way here, Ben. You're right. It makes so much sense as a Jewish person and as a Jewish believer to believe in Reformed theology.
Yeah, I can never understand the hostility that some of the Messianic Jews have against Calvin. When you think about the whole concept of the elect and the old covenant, when you have a minority of people in the world being chosen by God from among the nations, not because of anything they believed or did or of their goodness by any stretch of the imagination, and you know that they were a covenant people to the exclusion of the pagans and all the other folks. It's amazing to me how Jews would find repulsive the concept of unconditional election that his people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation are elected and adopted by him, not because of things that they do or believe.
You said it. I mean, it should be obvious to anyone, but especially a Jewish person, that the Jews were God's chosen people, not because they were special.
Right.
It was they were the least, they were the weakest. Everything about the choice of Jews and Israel, the Jewish people and Israel, points to predestination and Reformed theology and everything that we learn about Reformed theology. It makes perfect sense with Israel and all the way from Abraham until now. It just you're right. I don't understand it either.
All right, let's go to our first, or not our first, but our next listener question. Murray in Kinross, Scotland.
Murray?
Yes. Not Jewish.
It's not John Murray? Okay.
No, Murray is his first name. In Kinross, Scotland, what would you consider the most effective approach in evangelism for allaying the fears of Jewish people who instinctively think you are trying to stop them from being Jewish?
That's where education comes in. That, you know, that statement we were talking about at lunch, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The more education that the church has, the more obvious it is that everything, and we were talking about it also at lunch today, about Romans 9:1-4:5. If you look at that, he starts off on the chapter with pleading that I'm telling you the truth, and then he continues by speaking about, I would give my salvation. Even though you can't do it, I would, and I believe that he wants us to understand he would if he could. And there are many other men of God over the centuries that have said, if I would, I would give my salvation to get this person saved. And then he continues from there in 4 and 5 to say that that everything you believe, speaking to, in Romans, to the Gentile church, everything you believe, every single thing, and if you turn to those scriptures, you'll see it. Whether it's the patriarchs, whether it's the law, whether it's the covenant, whether it's worship, we came from the priestly worship, all the way down to the most important, the Messiah comes from the Jewish faith. It all comes from the Jewish faith. So how, you know, if we have our education right, if we really study Romans, especially 9-11, how could we not communicate to a Jewish person? And not only that, but how could we not realize how Jewish it is, what we believe, how Jewish our roots are? That is what I'm all about. And that's what CWI is all about. And that's what all Jewish missions are all about, is to letting us all know, as a church, we need to know that our roots are Jewish, and that we have, and if you read on 10 and 11, we have an obligation to go back to the Jewish race, because everything we believe came from them. We have an obligation to give it back, and that is something we should get excited about. We should get excited whether it's through our prayers. We should get excited whether we want to say, hey, let me hit the streets. I want to talk to the Jewish people about the Lord. And all of this, very few people that I know that don't have someone in their life that is Jewish that they can talk to about him, whether it's sit down, have some coffee, as we say in New York, right? Have some coffee, sit down, and explain. And you want to have a relationship. You want to have a relationship. And if my favorite apologetic now isn't the Josh McDowell apologetic, it's the Stan Bonson apologetic, the Voss apologetic, which comes from presuppositional. Get into
someone's...
You mean
Greg Bonson?
Greg Bonson. I said Stan. Stan Bonson, I think, was a Yankee. Well, I got Yankees in my mind, even though they're out of it. But, yeah, good Greg Bonson. The whole idea of presuppositional apologetics, which is really getting into the philosophy that people have. And there's nothing more Jewish than what we in the church believe, and we need to see it. The problem is many evangelicals don't see the roots. You know, I wrote a manuscript years ago called The Roots of Christianity, Judaism Fulfilled. That's what it is. But more so, to take it past that and see our own responsibility, not just in knowing, but in able to communicate. If you can witness to a Jewish person, you can witness to anybody. And that includes Muslim, that includes agnostic, atheist. And, you know, there's nothing like knowing your roots. And I hope I answered the question with that. But if I had to say the best way, relationship is the best way. You're not going to be able to just get someone saved in the street. But what you do realize when you talk to people on the street, or whether you talk to them in a coffee shop, is that you might just be someone on the line of them getting saved. You could just be the one planting the seed. You could be the one watering it. Or maybe God will put you in the place where you're the one praying with them to accept Yeshua. But wherever you are part of the process. And when we are at that Bema seat, when we're up at that judgment where God's going to speak to us believers, we're going to realize that the seeds that we planted, how many people are in the kingdom because of the seeds we planted, not worrying about getting the glory and leading them in prayer, but just planting seeds, watering seeds. And if you have that attitude, you'll touch a lot more people than if you say, I want to pray with somebody. Don't worry about that. Just plant the seeds
and
make relationships.
Of course, we know that the Apostle Paul, mm-hmm. when he came to embrace Christ after his experience on the road to Damascus, he did not become a Gentile. He was still a Jew of Jews, a Hebrew of Hebrews.
Jewy Jew.
And Jesus Christ was and always will be a Jew.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the God-man.
Yeah,
there was no, I mean, Jesus Christ, of course, didn't convert to anything, but he but he never ceased being Jewish. He didn't become a Gentile in his flesh. So the whole concept of a Jew stopping being a Jew is nonsensical. And as even Jews know, for some reason, they willingly and gladly view atheists and Buddhists and Hindus and those who are involved in all kinds of non-Christian religions as Jews, if they began as Jews, if they were born as Jews, for some reason they are still viewed, even by the Orthodox as in the Hasidic, they view them as Jews. But if somebody becomes a Christian, they're somehow a traitor and no longer a Jew.
It's good. We found that out. I don't know how many more questions you have, but I wanted to be able to share Paris with you when I have some time.
Oh, yeah, when we come back,
some questions.
When you come back from our final break, we just have a
couple questions.
Yeah,
sure.
we have Josh in Mechanicsburg. Thank you again, Chris, for having another great guest on Iron Sharpens Iron. I have heard many people, mainly those with a strong anti-reform view, often mention that the Reformers were strongly anti-Semitic. Could your guest speak to the truth of how the Reformers desired for the Jews to be saved, especially the early Puritans?
Oh, well, the Puritans you're not going to have a problem with, but you will see there were a lot of Reformers. You know, people accuse, Calvin, some of the other Reformers they're going to accuse. Obviously, the biggest is going to be Luther, and obviously the things that Luther said in his end of his life, I cannot make any excuses for what Luther said. And then we know that Hitler used what Luther said to incite the Germans against the Jews.
He didn't need that, though. He would have used anything that he could get his hands on.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, think about it. You know, if you're going to use something, why not use Luther, one of the great heroes in Germany?
Especially since there were so many Lutherans in Germany.
Yes, of course.
I mean, the country was basically either Lutheran or Catholic.
Yes. So when you look at that, and I'm going to be real honest, is when I hit the streets, like I was talking about in Paris, speaking to religious Jews, speaking to secular Jews, speaking to agnostic Jews, when speaking to, there is a frustration that takes place when I could speak to anyone else in the street and they're more open for a conversation. Not that everybody is, but in terms of percentages, there's only 16 million Jews in the world. Believe it or not, France is the third population in the world of Jewish people. You know, behind Israel and New York. So there is that frustration, and I've spoken to enough Jewish people in my life to sense the frustration. Yeah, so your call or the question is correct there, and that's what when we go back to the start of the CWI, Robert Murray McShane knew there was a lot of anti-Semitism that was all through history. I mean, come on. There's a great book Michael Brown wrote called Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, which speaks of all the blood that was shed in the name of Jesus. Okay? And it hasn't exactly stopped, but it's a little different now than it was then. So much blood. You can talk about the Inquisition. You can talk about the Crusades. You can talk about the Holocaust, the pogroms, you know, and what happened in Russia. I mean, and when you look at all that, this is what a Jewish person sees. And we need to be sensitive to the fact that our hands are stained with blood, because it's obviously they weren't Christians, but it was in his name that they did this. And we need to see that. And McShane realized that 175 years ago, all of this anti-Semitism that continued through the Reformation. And look, I'm not going to make excuses for Luther, but I will stand up and say I understand the frustration that comes about, because think about what happened to Judaism. There used to be a biblical Judaism. And there are very few, and well, let's be honest, those who practice biblical Judaism are Messianic Jews who understand that Judaism is part of the heritage. Or there are obviously a lot in the Gentile church and evangelical church that do believe in biblical Judaism. The problem is biblical Judaism left a long time ago. I mean, you could look at when Israel left Egypt. And, you know, you're going to get as close to a theonomy as you're ever going to have back then. And it didn't really work. These guys rebelled. So you realize that as you go through history and all the hatred, whether you want to look back then at the Babylonians and Egypt and Assyrians, and then you go through time and you see with the Greek and with the Roman, you know, and the Medo-Persians and all this, and you just go over and over and you see all this anti-Semitism against this small group of people that God was going to make sure and still make sure that they're going to survive through all the hatred around him, even now with all the Muslim countries that would like to destroy them. And God has kept them alive through all this. I mean, you talk about miracles. Is that the greatest miracle in the world, that Israel is around and that there is probably, I think there are 30,000 Messianic believers in Israel today, where there used to be just hundreds back in, you know, in 46 when it first became a state, there were just 100. And now there's 30,000, so it is growing and people are going back. You know, on the other hand, half of the Jews in the world are either secular Jews or agnostic or atheist Jews. So half of those 16 million, around 8 million. So that's amazing to me. But we need to understand that that anti-Semitism is wrong, that the frustration of understanding once the temple was destroyed and Judaism became Talmudic, it became rabbinical, okay? So when you look at a Jewish person who's religious, we're just talking about religious Jews, they believe in the Tanakh. Most of them pretty much just believe in the first five books as being the important ones. They believe in that Tanakh. That's what's really, really important to them. They believe in Tefillin, which I brought one for you to see. Remember I showed you that? Which is the box that they wear in their head and their arms. They believe in that. They believe in mitzvahs, which is good works, and studying Torah. If you know those things, that's what they believe salvation is based on. And we just had Yom Kippur a month ago, right? The High Holy Days, which is a wonderful thing that we should celebrate. We should celebrate the High Holy Days. Why don't we celebrate the High Holy Days? That's another thing. But if we celebrated and got an education on this, we'd understand what a Jewish person believes and how far off the track they are, because they're not even close to biblical Judaism. They have a rabbinical and a Talmudic Judaism that we need to shake up. And the way to shake that up is understand it, is to want to be educated, to want to sit down and know, do your studies, because when you do, it will not just help you speak to a Jewish person and give you a passion to speak to a Jewish person, it will give you a passion to evangelize everyone God puts you in contact with. And that is the bottom line. God wants you to evangelize to every single person that crosses your path in life. And evangelism comes in many shapes and sizes, but the one thing is, in some way or another, you are leading a person towards Yeshua, towards Christ, towards Yeshua HaMashiach. That's what we're all about. And yes, anti-Semitism is alive. It's been alive from the beginning, and we need to fight against it with education.
Amen. And even though I would never try to excuse Luther's anti-Semitic ravings, at the same time, the kind of anti-Semitism that he was guilty of was theological, unlike the Nazis that would arrive on the scene 500 years later. The Nazis did not care if you converted to Christianity. If you had, quote, Jewish blood in you, generations back, they wanted you to die.
Yeah.
Luther wanted Jews to come to Christ.
Yes, and that's the frustration, is they didn't, because there were no sacrifices, there was no biblical Judaism, so he couldn't get through to them. At the beginning, he thought, okay, no more indulgences, no more, we're going to have a Reformation, you don't have to, all that Catholic stuff that happened.
No more Inquisition.
All that, none of that's going to happen. We're going to love on you now, and you're going to get it. But they didn't get it because their rabbinical Judaism was so cemented. Think about it. The rabbinical Judaism started even before, with the Pharisees, even before the temple was destroyed. Once the temple was destroyed, that was in cement. So from the time of the temple till Luther, think about all those years, we're talking about over 1,000 years of being able to set and cement what Judaism was to them, and it was totally wrong. It was not biblical, like I said, Talmudic, and the Talmud is the interpretation of the law, and they believe in that much more than they believe in the Tanakh and the Torah.
We have to go to our final break right now. Oh, quite all right. We have to go to our final break right now. And if you would like to join us during this last break, please send in your question very quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Before we go to your Paris update, your trip to Paris, when we come back from the break, Josh from Mechanicsburg just had one more question, and I'll read it to you now, and you can answer it when he comes back, when we come back. Since Brother Mitch mentioned his recent study of Romans 9 through 11, please exegete and explain the meaning and interpretation of Romans 11, verse 25 to 26, specifically how we are to understand all Israel will be saved within its immediate and broader context of the letter to the Romans and the rest of the Bible. Thank you so much for your ministry to the Jews and leading others on mission of proclaiming Jesus the Messiah. And of course, that verse is even interpreted and exegeted differently, even by Reformed people. Amillennialists, postmillennialists, and they all disagree to some extent. You'll even have postmillennialists disagreeing with each other, and amillennialists disagreeing with their own fellow amillennialists over what that means. And even our premillennialist brethren disagree. By the way, which are you, or do you have a settled position?
I'm still working on it.
Well, we're going to our final break, so don't go away. God willing, we will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight for me.
Tons of stuff going on. Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Delcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Welcome back, and just another note from our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. If you order The Whole Counsel of God, which is a 1,800-page, two-volume set, it retails for $109.98. You can get it for only $49.99 at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. So please make sure you tell Todd and Patty Jennings either vocally on the phone or in writing when you order from them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. By the way, if you are ordering online from CVBBS.com, apparently the only way that you can tell them in writing that you heard about them from Iron Trip and Zion Radio is in the instructions area after you've already placed your order when there's special instructions. Put in the special instructions section, I heard about you from Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. We are now back with our guest, Mitch Tepper, for our last 20 minutes or so of our interview. He is the new missionary for CWI, Christian Witness to Israel, specifically the North American Division of Christian Witness to Israel. We're going to hear in a moment about his trip to France that just occurred very recently. He just returned home from. So if you'd like to join us, do it now or forever hold your peace because we're running out of time very rapidly. ChrisArnson@gmail.com, ChrisArnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and country of residence. We just heard before the second question from Josh in Mechanicsburg. He basically wants to know what the Apostle Paul meant by all Israel shall be saved.
Okay. There you go. Tough stuff we're going to be dealing with. One of the things that's obvious, Jesus, I was looking for the exact scripture. I had it written in a sermon I just did a week or so ago. In fact, it was on Romans, where Jesus speaks. I know it's somewhere in Matthew between 11 and 14 chapter, where he says, not all from the house of Israel will be saved. And then we see what Paul says here. So how do you put those two statements together? Well, the obvious thing is without believing in replacement theology, we have been grafted into Israel. And when you look at Israel, when you have to think of the priestly prayer that everyone that it's Jesus said this in the priestly prayer, there is not one that you have given to me, Father, that I have let go of. That is the remnant. That is the elect. That is what Israel is. Israel and the Jews will always be the Jewish people in Israel, but you have been grafted on if you're a Gentile. Not replacement theology. You have been grafted on. And when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make the Jewish people jealous. Are we doing that? Well, to me, that's what part of that prophecy is about, is we are supposed to make the Jewish people jealous. That's what we need to do. We need to live a life, and a life that understands true biblical Judaism and are able to share that with our Jewish unbelieving brethren. We need to share it with them because that remnant is out there, and God wants to use us. Okay, no one's got the mark in their head. All right, nobody, and hopefully we don't believe in the hyper-Calvinists that we don't have to worry about it. We need to get out there and speak to everybody. So all of Israel being saved is whoever is elected, whoever is called, they will be saved, and that time will come. What the big thing is, there will be a revival of Jewish people that come to the Lord, and we sense it. As I spoke right before we ended, we went from 46, where there were just a couple of hundred, to 30,000, okay, Messianic Jews that are in Israel right now. And it's going to grow, and it's going to continue to grow, especially if we, as the evangelical church, do our job, go through the education that we need. That's the problem. Hey, look, my wife and I, Chris, we realized how assimilated both of us were into the Gentile church, and we forgot our Jewish roots. That's why we do this. We started a Messianic fellowship called Beth Shalom. Beth Shalom is the place I got bar mitzvah at. So we named it that. We were going to name it Butler Messianic Fellowship. Instead, we call it Beth Shalom Fellowship. We had our first Jewish person who was not a believer came last Friday. It was awesome. You want tears to come to your eye? You see an unbelieving Jewish person walk into this Messianic fellowship that we had, and they were excited that they saw the Jewishness in what we were doing, but we also proclaimed Mashiach the whole time. It was all about Mashiach. You know, I preached on Ezekiel 37, which happened to be the first sermon that was preached by Spurgeon was on Ezekiel 37. So wow. I kind of took some of that and went with it. So I hope I answer your question. And I think we have to be that balance, that radical middle where you don't want to say it's all about replacement theology. You don't want to say they come through the back door, but you want to understand God saves who he will save. He will not save every Jewish person, just like he will not save every Gentile person.
Those who are circumcised of the heart.
Circumcised, that's it. God, who's the total Israel is every person that God has chosen and elected, the remnant that he's either grafted on or the original branches. That is as simple as I can make that scripture. And I think the problem is people try to tear it apart and say, what does he mean? Right. You know? And it is. It's simple. God saves who he's going to save. He wants to hate Esau and love Jacob. That's his prerogative, not ours.
Well, I want you to have the final 5 minutes talk about your trip to France.
Oh, it was, like I was mentioning before, it was a life-changing for both me and my wife. My wife, Mia, I always let her tell, she always likes to let me know how anxious and she is about the stuff that we do. She doesn't realize I'm anxious a lot of times, too.
But by the way, do children call her Mama Mia?
Yes, that's true. My kids call her Step Mama Mia. Step Mama Mia, you out there listening? I hope so. Okay. If not, you know, you can listen to the archive. But she was so nervous. The first day, she was like shadowing me, right? After the first day, when she got more training, because we train every morning before we go out in the streets, she was doing her thing. I mean, she was better at it than me. You want to know why? Because she developed relationships. I'm like, I just want to hit, you know, okay? You know, let me talk. Oh, you don't want to talk? Okay, there's someone else who might want to talk. I'm like that. She was developing relationships with people. Exactly what we're talking about before. If you really want to get inside a person, develop a relationship where they trust you. And she was doing that. After, I guess it was 10, 11 days in the street, I knew this was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I knew that I had, just like Jacob, I did some stupid stuff in my life, but I was going to finish well. And this is, to me, the best way of finishing well is getting out there. And look, you know, there's a great little vision that God gave me a long time ago, which is, I am not the thief in the cross. Thief in the cross got to accept the Lord and die. The rest of us have to live here. Some of us for 10 years, some of us for 70 years after we know the Lord. The point or the question you should be asking yourself, why am I still here? Why did I not go up like the thief in the cross? Well, it's an obvious answer. He has you here to do work. Well, what's the work? Well, that's obvious too. Find ways to share Yeshua with everybody God brings in contact with you. Paris was an awesome thing. We got to speak to, I'll tell you one great story. Hopefully you'll let me have this. If we go over six, what are you going to do? Shut me down?
No. We will, for the archive, have to edit out some ads.
That's fine. So there was a Chabad center, a Lubavitch. And in the Lubavitch, they had these Jewish teenagers that were from Crown Heights, Brooklyn. Okay. Now, this story is absolutely amazing to me. There was these... Then the reason I brought tefillin in is these Chabadniks would not speak to me unless I wore tefillin. Okay? My other, you know, leaders there, they spoke against it, and I'm going, no. If I could speak to them, and as Stephen told me, he says, you were a Jew to Jews. You know, you had to be who you are to whoever you're speaking to, you know? And I wore it. They spoke to me. I got to share with them things like Isaiah 53, which you all know is the, you know, messianic scripture, the suffering servant. You know, 7:14, Psalm 22, Leviticus 17:11, because most of these religious Jews pretty much believe in the Torah more than anything. But Leviticus 17 says, the life is in the blood. There is only atonement through the shedding of blood. You can't deny this. When I read it to these teenagers, they said, oh, that's not in our Bible. I said, you read it and you tell me it's not in there. It's in there. Okay? So we went over that stuff, and I spoke to this one gentleman three times, and I was able to share with him. Some of you might not know this, but there is a rabbi, Schneerson, who they believe is the Messiah. He happened to die about 20 years ago, I think, and he was from the Crown Heights. Now, when I got saved, this is so interesting. When I got saved 42 years ago, you know what my parents did? They pulled me out of California, brought me to Schneerson back in Crown Heights. So these guys that I was talking to were talking about a dead rabbi that I got to speak to 40 years ago when my parents sent me there to deprogram me. I mean, it's like amazing. So I was able to share this, and it was a connection.
And your parents weren't even religious Jews.
Oh, no. That's because they would rather me be an Orthodox Lubavitch than, God forbid, you know, a Christian. So there's other stories. I can go on forever, but obviously you don't have time for me to go on forever. But I do want you to know I have a lot of Jewish friends I grew up with that I doubt any of them are listening, but in case they are, I have not been as intentional. And I want to end by letting you know I wasn't intentional enough with my mom. I have not been intentional enough with the Jewish friends that I grew up with. We need to be intentional. Finish well. I don't know how many more years any of us have, but as long as I'm down here, as long as you are all down there, we need to be intentional about sharing Yeshua. And the intentionality is know enough so you will be comfortable and have a desire not just to share with Gentiles, but to share with everyone, to share with Jewish people that might be in your life. And that is so important, and that's what the CWI is about. And you know, I want to close by asking you guys, I need your prayers very much. If there are any people who are interested in training, I hopefully I'm going to be at a lot of different churches in different states. Maybe I'll be in your city. I would love to be able to train people who would love to go out in the streets. I would love to train people so they know how to have conversations, whether it's in a coffee house, an apartment, or in the streets. And obviously we need financial support, because I'm the only missionary, and we need more than one. We need more missionaries. So with that being said, you know, we're going to, I guess, give the information. CWINA.org is where you can press donate and donate there. And the headquarters that Stephen Atkinson is in Arkansas. This has been an awesome experience for me, I got to tell you, and I would do it again with you in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, I'd love to have you come back whenever you're available to even co-host with me. And what is the contact information for the Messianic congregation?
Okay, it's 581 Hanson Avenue in Butler, PA. That is, it's Beth Shalom Fellowship. It's 7 p.m. every Friday, and we do Messianic worship. We do a Friday night Shabbat service with the candles and the challah and the wine or grape juice, obviously, we use. And, you know, we preach a short sermon, and hopefully we'll get more, you know, Jewish people to come. because Butler is not filled with them. The demographics aren't great.
And do you have a website for the Messianic Synagogue, or should I say Messianic Congregation?
No, right now everything is under Facebook, Broken Places. We will start our own. We just started 3 weeks ago. So it's been less than a month. But right now it's under Broken Places on Facebook. You can get to Broken Places on Facebook. You'll know it by the address, which is Hanson and Butler, Hanson Avenue and Butler. We will have our own, which would be under Beth Shalom Fellowship, and we should be opening it up in the next couple of weeks.
Great. Well, yeah. I look forward to having you back, not only soon, but very frequently. I love interviewing you face-to-face because it's like watching a conductor conducting a symphony, just like the New York Italians that I love so well, the New York Jews,
I got a little Italian in me. Yes, I do.
You should have seen him flailing his arms around while he was talking. But anyway, thank you so much, Mitch. Thank you so much, Stephen Atkinson, for strongly urging me to invite Mitch onto the program. Thank you, everybody who listened, especially those who sent in questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.